Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, this special Sunday edition as we look ahead towards Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Cleveland. I didn't mean that. That slipped. honestly, that slipped. With the Boston Celtics taking on the Orlando Magic at Amway Arena in Orlando, I did not mean to say that, Cleveland. I really didn't mean it. You guys, got put away for that couple of days back. We'll get to you, though. We have plenty in the program for LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, but they're not a part of the upcoming Eastern Conference Finals, which will be taking place in about an hour. 3:30 will be tip-off in Orlando. Orlando, this will be Orlando's first game since last Saturday as they dispatched the Atlanta Hawks in one of the most lopsided playoff series of all time. You figure this series will be just a little bit tougher, just a little bit. So they took out the Boston Celtics, who are coming off a great series against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Listen, for all the talk, and so we'll get to it before the program is out, for all the talk about what LeBron James didn't do, what the Cleveland Cavaliers didn't do, the Boston Celtics, both Celtics played well. I mean, you can't get around. That was great. Rondo was the best player on the floor and has been, in my eyes, been the MVP of the playoffs up to this point. Boston got contributions from everybody, Rasheed Wallace, Clay Davis, those guys had their moments. You have Ray Allen had a couple good games. So Boston really played well. The game plan was executed to perfection and really cut off the court for LeBron James. And they deserve to win. They were the better team. There's no getting around it. They've come together, and you can absolutely dismiss what you saw during the regular season when it comes to the Boston Celtics. It's not the same team that you saw kind of sleepwalk through the regular season, have injuries, and they look old. And they looked old, but they're a completely different team. They're more capable of not only beating Orlando, but come on, winning a championship. There's no two ways about it. They played extremely well in the playoffs up to this point. And they're going to be right there with the Magic. You look at this series, again, these two teams met last year. Now, the difference, though, in only a year, the difference is, you have a healthy Kevin Garnett. You have, from a Boston perspective, you have a healthy Jameer Nelson. You also have, Vince Carter, Matt Barnes, who are on the team, who were not there last year. So, despite the fact that it's only been a year since these two teams met, not the same teams. A lot of cool guys are there, but these are not the same teams as far as, these are not the same teams that we saw back in 2009. Orlando goes in as a favorite against Boston. Orlando has played great. They're 8-0 in the playoffs. They are 28-3 in their last 31 games. They've been dominant on both ends of the court. But the thing that will worry you would be the fact that they have not been challenged. And, I looked at Cleveland last year. Cleveland last year rolled through the playoffs. Had not played a team that was capable of beating them. Same thing with Orlando. Same thing. The only difference is Orlando has championship, has NBA Finals experience, a lot of NBA Finals experience. Last year, Cleveland as a team really didn't have that outside of a couple of players in terms of like LeBron James, Delonte West. As a team, they didn't have that Finals experience that Orlando has coming into this year. So again, it should be a very good series. To me, you look at some of the key matchups. I'm looking at the point guard position. You have right now the two best point guards in the playoffs, remaining in the playoffs as far as how they're playing. I know you can say that's Steve Nash, but as far as those two point guards have played bad, it's Rajon Rondo and Jameer Nelson. Rajon Rondo has been the best player in the playoffs this year. I mean, he's played that well. Again, he dominated that series against Cleveland. He dominated the series. He did what he had to do against Miami, played well, but that Cleveland series, he was, I can say, the best player on the floor. Everybody talks about him having to slow Jameer Nelson down. Jameer Nelson is going to have to slow Rondo down. Because the thing Rondo does is he can dominate a game fast scoring. I mean, he could be a one-man fast break. He could be a half-court fast break. He could get you, you know, 10 to 12 rebounds in a game. He could go, he could just terrorize your defense. And one of the most underrated things about Rondo's game is the fact that he really is an extra postman in the middle. And what I mean by that is, you know, you have Garnett, you have Perkins, but, you know, he spends so much time in the paint scoring or making plays that it really is like, it's like having another big guy in the paint, even though he's only 6'1". And he finds a way to, despite the fact that he rebounds and spends a lot of time in the paint, he finds a way to get back on defense. You figure teams would make Boston pay, let's say, not having defensive balance. Rondo finds a way to rebound the ball, or if he doesn't, finds a way to get back on defense. You rarely see Boston get beat in transition. So, to me, I mean, Boston, you know, that matchup whoever wins that matchup will probably win the series. I would say whoever wins that matchup, their team will probably win the series. That's how big that matchup is. Neither one of these guys have seen players that even come close to them as far as the point guard position. Rondo hasn't seen the likes of Jameer Nelson. Jameer Nelson hasn't seen the likes of Rajon Rondo. The second thing is, the other matchup is Boston's big man against Dwight Howard. Boston has done a very good job at defending Howard in the past couple of years. They've not double-teamed on Howard a lot. They're going to trust that Kevin Perkins will be able to go one-on-one and defend Howard. They're going to trust that, you know, in the spare minutes that he plays, that Rasheed Wallace will be able to go one-on-one and defend Dwight Howard. That will be a big, that matchup, if Dwight Howard dominates the series, is game over for Boston. They could not handle Dwight Howard going 25-20, going 28-17. They cannot handle. He cannot dominate this series in Boston. They cannot withstand Dwight Howard dominating and expect to win. You all gotta worry about Jameer Nelson. You gotta worry about the perimeter shooters from Orlando. You know, if Dwight Howard has it going, then you're gonna have to double team him, and that's gonna leave open. That's gonna leave open all those 3-point shooters that Orlando has. And Orlando has a ton of them. I mean, you talk about Vince Carter, you talk about Matt Barnes, Petrus, Rashad Lewis, Matt Anderson, David Anderson, J.J. Redick. I mean, they are loaded with 3-point shooters. Absolutely loaded with guys that can knock down over shot. I think for Boston, when you look at what Boston has to do to win the series, again, slow down Dwight Howard. He cannot dominate the series. And Kevin Garnett has to be Kevin Garnett. He has to be the Garnett that we've seen throughout the course of the postseason. The Kevin Garnett who had his way with Cleveland and Antoine Jameson. I know he struggled earlier in the season. I know he struggled over the course of the season with Orlando. But again, I toss that out because Garnett, for the most part, was not healthy over the course of the season. He just recently started getting stronger, say, in late March, early April. Right now he's playing well. So I discount what he did against Orlando in the regular season and look at the way he's playing right now. He has to dominate the matchup against Rashad Lewis. He absolutely has to dominate the matchup against Rashad Lewis. I expect that Paul Pierce will be able to get loose in this series a little bit after facing LeBron James. Listen, when you have to guard LeBron James and have LeBron James guarding you, your game is going to take a hit. I mean, it is all there is to it. Especially Paul Pierce at this point in his career. Having to be the primary defender on LeBron James is going to take away from your offense. There's no two ways about it. So I expect him to get a little bit loose in this series. Whether he's being, it doesn't matter whether it's Petrus or Matt Barnes guarding him or Vince Carter at times guarding him. That is a downgrade compared to LeBron James guarding him and him having to guard LeBron James. For Orlando, I think Dwight Howard, to me, has to be dominant in this series. Orlando has gotten away from Dwight, has gotten away with Dwight Howard not being great in one series against Charlotte. He was better against Atlanta. They had a height advantage, a size advantage over Atlanta. They would not have that same advantage against the Boston Celtics. The Celtics have bigs as far as when it comes, they have bigs that they can run at you. You know, Glenn Davis, Sheet Wallace, Kendrick Perkins, Kevin Garnett. You know, even Shaq Williams to a lesser extent. They are loaded with big men, and they're deep in terms of their back, in terms of their front court, with guys that can come at you and that can go after Dwight Howard. And see, Dwight Howard is going to have to be great in this series. And he can't get in foul trouble. He can't have games where, you know, he's going, you know, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 10 rebounds, and 5 fouls. He can't do that against the Celtics. Because what will happen is the Celtics will not double team, or they need him to be dominant so that their 3-4 shooters can have open looks. If he's not dominant, the Celtics will not double team him. And those three-point shooters will not get the quality looks that they're used to getting. You look at Orlando. Now, Orlando gets their 3-4 shots off two things. Mainly off dual penetration, which the Celtics will have to control as well. But they also, of course, get them off Dwight Howard being double-teamed. If I'm Boston, I'll make Dwight Howard go for 40. I would dare him to score 40 or 20 every night and say, hey, if you beat us that way, this will be it. I'm not allowing Orlando to beat me by shooting my eyes out with the three-point shot. Orlando does a great job of creating separation between the defender and their three-point shooters. You watch Orlando play, it's a record for three-point field goals made this year. The reason why they get so many looks, the reason why they make so many of those three points, because their guys don't have a hand in their faces. I mean, you didn't know how open their 3-point shooters are. You know, they do a great job of spacing. They, again, the dribble penetration, and also with the White House being double team. But they do a great job at getting their 3-point shooters open looks. That's something that Boston could not allow. They're going to take their threes. I mean, you know they're going to take 20 to 25, even 25 to 30 3-point shots a game. Boston has to make sure that those 3-point shots are contested. So, the two keys of the series will be the White Howard on the inside, how well he plays, could be the key for Boston, being the key for Orlando, and for Boston, how well they defend the Magic in terms of three-point shooting. And all that coincides with how well they defend Howard and how well they defend the dual penetration of Serge Ibaka Nelson. Still to come on this Eastern Conference final edition of the Saturday morning wake-up call. What happened to the Cavaliers? What happened to LeBron James? I'll explain to you what I think happened. And, you know, a little sneak peek into the summer of LeBron. We'll talk about that. And I also will have my prediction of this series. We'll talk about that as well. We'll take you to the bottom half of the 2 o'clock hour to 2:30. It is just 42 minutes after 2 o'clock hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers were knocked out of the playoffs on Thursday night. LeBron James goes home again without a championship. And to me, you know, everybody speculated, you know, the summer of LeBron, what he's going to do, things like that. Maybe I'll play time for that. But to me, I'm looking at what happened to Cleveland in that series and why LeBron struggled. Number one, and this is the bottom line to me, Cleveland just doesn't have enough talent. I mean, they don't. They just do not have enough talent on that particular team. LeBron James is no different from Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, some of the great players that ever played from the standpoint of he needs another great player around him. did not win a championship with Mo Williams as your number two player. You can win a championship with Mo Williams being your number three, but you're not winning a championship with Mo Williams being your number two. It is not going to happen. I mean, you need that second star who can offset you having a bad night. And case in point, you know, the Lakers, back in 2000, you know, when Shaq was in his prime, Kobe was still younger, were in a game seven with Portland. Portland had him down 13 in the fourth quarter, and Shaquille Neal was having an awful day. Shaquille, you go back, now everybody remembers the Shaquille Neal dunk. You know, they called out, they called from Kobe Bryant, but you go back and look at his stats from that game, he's Shaquille Neal about 16 points. He's basically almost a non-factor from a statistical standpoint in that particular game. The difference, Kobe Bryant had a big game, offensively and defensively, and really, you know, carried the Lakers through in that victory. Cleveland doesn't have that. I mean, if Cleveland doesn't give superhuman performances from LeBron James, they have no chance. And that's how you win championships. You know what I mean? You cannot lose a second big-time player. I don't think Cleveland is going to be able to get that player and sign LeBron to a max contract. Unless LeBron was going to take a pay cut and then have them bring in somebody like Chris Bosh at maximum money, which is not going to happen. That's the biggest reason why I think he played his last game with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Other than the outside stuff that he's into. With the LeBron brand, you know, Jay-Z and all that other nonsense that he, you know, that has nothing to do with winning championships. So that's what happened with the Cleveland. I mean, LeBron James just didn't have enough help. And as far as LeBron James goes, in terms of his performance, there are people around Cleveland who are right now just mystified on LeBron James' performance. And not so much with missing shots and field goal percentage and all that stuff like that. With just his attitude, his mindset. I mean, nobody, including around the team, reporters, knew exactly what's going on with LeBron James right now. Nobody. Not even his teammates. But he clearly was not engaged in that series. Not just, I mean, everybody talks about the game five, but let's really break it down. And you compare... You compare his aggressive quarters versus his non-aggressive quarters in that series. First half of that game, you know, game one, first half, he was very passive. Second half had a great second half. Game two, nowhere to be found, was really did not look to be in the game. Had a bad game, but this is not aggressive. Everybody thought, you know, hey, is he hurt? Everybody thought that he was injured. Thought that, hey, the elbow really must be bothering him. Then he comes out game three like a world beater and destroys Boston and has by far and away his best game. Game four, again, they had some aggressive moments, but for the most part, you know, was kind of like, you know, going through emotions. And of course, you had game five and even in game six. I mean, I feel he was aggressive for the most part in game six, but, by the time game six came around, it was too late. I mean, game five was the key game in this series. Boston won their series in game five. When they were able to go up there and destroy Cleveland, that took the life out of Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland Cavaliers were not going to win this series. We're not going to win that series. LeBron James, at that point, you know, it got to the point where they couldn't guard Boston. They couldn't guard Boston defensively. And again, the team... Set off LeBron James' lack of energy. And LeBron James, how many high fives, how many jumping up and down, how many saluting did you see LeBron James doing over the course of the series? Normally he's jumping up and he's bouncing around, he's into it, he's, you know, smacking hands with his team, smacking fives with his teammates, he's getting into his teammates' faces. I didn't see any of that in this series. Now, I did see some frustration in game six when he realized that the season was about to be over. You know, slamming the ball to the ground and, you know, talking, you know, screaming at the coach, at one of the assistant coaches. I saw that. By the time that came, it was too late. So, again, LeBron James had to take a major hit for this series. Not so much for the fact that they lost this series, but for the fact that he you know, unlike a Magic Johnson, unlike a Kobe Bryant, unlike Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, was not engaged in the series at all as a whole. He was not into it. For whatever reason, I have no idea that and the Kennedy assassination would be just mystifying. The stuff that you may not ever know the answer to. Only he knows that. But he was not into the series. A couple moments here and there, but for the most part, he just kind of went through the motions. And right now, yes, he has two MVPs. Yes, he was the quickest, fastest, youngest ever scored 15,000 points. There's all these, been all NBA, all these accolades. But you know what? This, how the series ended in that game five is right there. It's right there with those MVPs, with all the stuff that he's accomplished as far as being a part of his legacy up to this point. There's no running away from it. People will be talking about this 10 to 15 years from now. People will be talking about this. And there's no getting around it. Mike Brown is probably out the door. And everybody knows he hates Mike Brown. I mean, he can't stand Mike Brown. He took several shots at Mike Brown during the press conference. Nothing was wrong with our game plan, but we could have made adjustments. That's not a shot the coach. I don't know what it is. But again, one of the most head-scratching performances I've ever seen by a player, by athlete of that magnitude in that spot. Give the Celtics credit. The Celtics were a better team. They had a lot more options. They had way more options to go to than Cleveland had. And it basically became a 1-on-4, 1-on-5 situation. But bottom line is LeBron James, basically took the series off. He did not come to play night in, night out, game in, game out in this series at all. And to a man, those Cleveland. You hear from reporters and people, the reporters who are inside the locker room, that they say that they don't believe it. A lot of these players still believe that he was not that hurt. Meaning that, he was banged up, towards everyone, but that it was not that serious to be able to cause him to play like that. I'm only telling you what the players have been telling guys from Kevin Cleveland, the beat reporters and what have you, and the things that I've read from the Cleveland newspaper. And you had a situation there with John Calipari was at a game sitting next to with John Calipari was it, who is by the same age as LeBron James was at a particular game. I don't know what that means. But it will be a long summer for LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call final segment where I will have predictions and I'll tell you who will represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. We'll be right back with that. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call on Sunday. Again, this special 30-minute edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call previewing the Eastern Conference Finals between Boston Celtics and the Orlando Magic and the Orlando, of course, with home court. The game will start about 3:30. You'll have Mike Breen, Mark Jackson, of course, the always funny and crazy Jeff Van Gundy calling the game. ABC, ESPN ABC will do the Eastern Conference Finals, and of course, the West will start tomorrow with the Lakers and Phoenix, and which will all be on TNT. When I look at this series, at first, I looked at it even before Cleveland-Boston was done, was still in progress, and I said, Orlando, they're playing great right now. They have, the eye of the tiger. They've been, this is a team that lost their finals last year. They seem to be, on a mission. And a lot of things going for them. But then the Boston Celtics just kind of you know, won me over, so to speak. I mean, the Celtics, you got to look at the Celtics from this standpoint. They are the definition of a desperate team. They're playing like they've never won a championship. And then, you know, you got to understand that this is probably their last shot at winning a championship with this cast of characters. Garnett, Pierce, Ray Allen are not getting any younger. Rasheed Wallace not getting any younger. I know Rondo's great, and he's, you know, only 24. But this may be it. Doc Rivers could be done for this year. You know, he has a son who's one of the best high school players in college basketball in the country. And, the Magic just have not been challenged. They have not been challenged in the playoffs. Yeah, and to me, that's almost a disadvantage. When you're winning games so easily and, you know, you're 8-0, you've had 20 days off, you played 8 games and have 20 days off, and you've just been cruising through the playoffs, and now, you run up against a team that is capable of beating you, that has championship pedigree, that is desperate as ever to get back to the finals and win that championship, and has no fear. I mean, the Celtics have absolutely no fear of the Orlando Magic. That they should have beat them, that they would have beat them last year if Garnett would have been healthy. They, you know, I like Boston this series. I like Boston in a very close, in a very tight 7-game series. I believe it will go 7. I don't pick against the home team in a 7th game, but to me, Boston can win anywhere. They're a veteran team. They can play tight games. They have big game players. And again, I still question whether or not Orlando, you know, having it coming so easy, how are they going to respond in a tight game? Now, who's their go-to guy? That's one thing about Orlando. We know last year was Tokelu. And Rashawn Lewis had some moments, but Tokelu was their go-to guy. Who's their go-to guy if the games get tight? Do you have confidence that the White House is going to make free throws? Has Vince Carter, because Vince Carter showing you enough to where he could be that guy? And he hasn't been his whole career, even in the playoffs, even when he was at his best. I know Paul Pierce can make a big shot. I know Rondo can make a big play. I know Ray Allen can make a big shot. I don't know. There's still too many question marks about the Orlando Magic when it comes, to play in a close clutch situation. And it's going to be a very tight series. Very tight series. I think Boston will win today's game, because I think if Boston's going to win a game in Orlando, this will be the one, considering how long Orlando has had off. Boston is sharp, sharp and should be well rested having 2 days off themselves. But I like Boston in this series. Again, I think it'll be a very close series. Certainly going to be surprised in Orlando. Everybody's on Orlando right now. Everybody, a lot of people who think are going to win the championship, a lot of people are on the arc, to pick the Lakers, but other than that, it would be split between Orlando and the Lakers right now as far as who will win the championship. Well, I'm not done, not by a long shot. Tune in 7 p.m. We will have post-game analysis of this. I look back at this game, see which team, see the key players, see who made the big plays, talk about game 2, also preview the Western Conference Finals between the Lakers and Phoenix as they will kick off tomorrow. Again, 7 p.m. Saturday morning, wake up call. We'll be talking about game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, so I'll be talking about that. So stay tuned for that. So, enjoy the game, have a little dinner, enjoy some of the post-game interviews, and stay tuned towards the Saturday morning wake-up call post-game edition of the Eastern Conference Finals, game 1. Enjoy the game. I will see you in about 4.5 hours. So long, and see you later.